and welcome to Recovery Internet Radio and our show Straight Stuff on Addictions. Tonight our tag is Celebrate Recovery, which we decided upon.
Yes, great.
That was an easy one. Our guest is Steve Yeshek, and thanks for joining us tonight where we are every Sunday night at 8. And thanks to our engineer, Chris Atwater.
Hey-o.
And engineer and... What do we call you? Assistant producer, occasionally?
Yeah, I get lots of credit.
That's great.
Any other names, you can just let me know.
Not that I can stay on the radio.
you can call in to the show for questions by calling 323-792-2977 or tweet at Rick Atwater. And also remember to check out recoveryinternetradio.com. That's
recoveryinternetradio.com.
We'll probably say that several more times yet.
Which is a great site. I looked at that.
Oh, did you see it?
Some great programs on there.
There is some good shows.
Good resources. It's great.
Thank you. I appreciate the endorsement. We keep all of our archive shows there, so if you want to go to the site, you can always listen to anything we've recorded over the course of the last year plus.
Year and a month now.
60 some odd shows.
13 months. If we're talking about it like an infant, you know, you're going months, right? You know, I do have to say, this week, calling into the show isn't going to get you far because we're recording early here. So it'll be up there for us on Sunday. But feel free to call most Sundays, but this would be a bad one.
No one will answer. That's right. Sorry. We're actually at the Evangelical Free Church in Crystal Lake doing our show.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having us.
It's wonderful. That. Thanks for coming, and thanks for your interest in what we do with Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, we want to get it out there, and we try to, be inclusive. Get all sorts of things out there. So I thought... given the nature of the program and where we are, that it might be nice for us to start with a prayer. Could you start for us?
Be glad to. Thank you for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Lord, we come before you, our Father and our Lord God, and we just come to you asking for your guidance as we have this conversation, that it would reach out to others who are listening, that it would... address maybe some needs that are being felt, and that it would address people's spiritual issues as we're talking about Celebrate Recovery, and the whole reality of bringing Jesus into the recovery process. And so we just would pray for you to give understanding and insight and help for those who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for getting us started that way.
Yes.
Let's start by talking a little about you, if we could.
Yes.
And what brought you into the Celebrate Recovery program? And
yes.
Yeah. What was your connection?
Yes, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I have been prior to coming on the church 12 years ago. I worked in a psychiatric treatment center called
Oh, you did?
Rafa. Right. And we had treatment centers that were both substance abuse and psychiatric. Throughout the country.
Where was it? Which unit worked?
Yeah, I worked in the Chicago area. I worked at Forest Hospital and also at River Edge Hospital.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, Alexian Brothers also had
it. And we were also at Alexian Brothers, yes. Uh-huh.
That's where I was familiar with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. And prior to that, I was in Houston, Texas.
Rafa. Oh, you were?
And College Station.
Okay.
So I was with Rafa for 12 years, and that's where I got introduced to the whole idea of bridging recovery and psychiatric issues with faith and Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are you a Texas native? Or
no, I'm from Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin.
You're from northern Wisconsin.
Okay, if you ever pick up that Wisconsin accent.
Come to think of it, maybe I can.
That's almost as far as you can get.
It is pretty much. Just short of Adair, you know.
That's right. So we're close to the Eufers and that.
So what took you all the way down to Texas?
Well, it was Rafa. I was quite a few years ago now.
Yeah. So we have to crank the memory banks a little bit.
Way back.
Yeah.
But I was just getting involved in in counseling and in Christian counseling, and I was having almost a spiritual kind of a dilemma there, where I, you know, felt like it was so important to bring faith and into bear on my counseling and in recovery issues and addictions issues. And so I was searching for some programs that I could connect with that way.
You were looking specifically
right,
for that.
Right. Yeah, I was specifically looking for that. And, you know, heard on the radio up in northern Wisconsin, the South Texan, talking about, he was talking about false beliefs that people get into, and how the higher truth was based on what Christ has done in terms of giving us through forgiveness, giving us acceptance, and giving us love, and giving us this new identity, and how significant that could be in dealing with psychiatric issues. And and so he was talking about the four false beliefs, and he talked about them in terms of people struggle with fear of rejection, you know, based on the idea of I must have the acceptance of others, significant others, before I can feel good about myself. And then he dealt with the idea of people have the fear of failing, believing that I must meet certain standards before I can feel good about myself. And, fear of punishment and guilt, and he addressed it from the false belief of if I fail or others fail, they deserve to be punished or feel guilty and feel bad about themselves.
Yeah, something wrong with you if you don't feel
bad.
Yeah.
That's right, right. Uh-huh. And, you know, and then he also addressed the whole shame issue. And so it resonated with me, you know, because I grew up, you know, with struggling with those fears, fear of rejection and rejection and shame. Yeah. And you know, going back to Wisconsin, my earlier days there, I had grown up on an Indian reservation, and so there was a lot of, in the school I went to, there was a lot of Native Americans, but there was a lot of substance abuse on the reservation and in the school that I attended. It was primarily Native Americans, and so I carried a lot of that sort of wound of the shame and the guilt, and of course then got into a lot of those extracurricular activities on the reservation too, of drinking and whatnot. And,
and so, what's your tribe?
I'm not a Native American myself.
Oh. But you grew up on a reservation.
I grew up on a reservation.
That's kind of different.
Yeah, my grandfather back in the 20s, through all the economic crisis that was going on there, lived in the Chicago area and found out about the land sales that were going on the reservation.
I get you.
Because there was a lot of Native Americans who lived in Chicago, still do. And so he bought property up there and built a resort.
What's your heritage? Because I knew I wanted to ask you.
Yeshik is Bohemian.
Okay.
Czechoslovakian.
Okay, I guess right then. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Saw that. I was Czech. So I had that Bohemian background, but I was part Irish, part French Canadian, and part German.
And so growing up on a
reservation.
And what was the? I'm trying to think. What's the primary? The Northern American.
Ojibwa Indians were the primary Indians there. And that was my first employment after I got out of undergraduate school. Was working with Native Americans, in a Native American Gupon, delinquent Indians, and in a Native American school.
Okay, where was that?
In Lac des Flambeaux.
Oh, okay.
Wisconsin.
Okay, up north. Had you already gotten your social work degree, or you?
I had gotten my social work degree, undergraduate.
Yeah. Where did you go to school?
University of Wisconsin in Eau Claire.
Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife was an administrator there.
Oh, is that right?
For years. Yeah.
Oh,
for a long time.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that's familiar territory.
Uh huh.
So that you got your undergraduate degree there, and then where did you get your degree?
And then I got my graduate degree at Tulane University in New Orleans.
So you've been around a little bit, Steve.
From north,
Louisiana,
south,
Texas, yeah, all back over. And forth. Yeah, you can see that, you know, trail of tears.
Those four false beliefs that you were talking about,
yes.
Are those the things that the RAFA program is based on?
Yes, it's based on the idea of trying to recognize core fears, core false beliefs, and then replace it. It's a cognitive, kind of a spiritual program where deal with your thoughts, kind of put off the wrong thinking and put on the, mm-hmm. the right thinking based on faith, based on, a lot of it was based on grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, the idea that you're saved by grace and by faith, and that, you know, we need to think that way when mm-hmm. it comes to our performance and our approval issues, that we need to go back to the reality of we're unconditionally
mm-hmm.
accepted. And it was really amazing how it would be transformational for people.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, how do you, I mean, we're jumping the gun a little bit,
uh-huh.
but it just crossed my mind to ask, is how do you bring those pieces together, if you can even say how, the spiritual side of recovery and the thinking side, the more mm-hmm. emotional, social, mm-hmm. rational parts. Mm-hmm.
Right.
How do you do
right.
that?
Right, right. Well, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but you know, if you even look at what we're going to talk about, Celebrate Recovery, and you go to the origins of even like AA,
right.
you go back to the origins of it came out of the Oxford movement in a revival time, where that was their goal, was to deal with, you know, the whole person.
Yeah.
And deal with, you know, the relationships with people and the relationships with God and the health part. But so much of it was about them going through the Bible
mm-hmm.
and looking at those things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But also it was a lot about relying on the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
on God.
Mm-hmm.
So combining that whole idea. So step one, mm-hmm. faith in God, but recognizing we are powerless apart from God, apart from His
mm-hmm.
Spirit. And then step two, having faith in God to transform us, to change us. But then step three is dealing with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would combine at Rafa,
yeah,
those three steps.
Okay,
in
sure.
In the cognitive part.
Okay. I mean, I'm a clinician too, so
yes.
I'm always, you know, in working with substance abuse,
yes.
and working with addiction,
yes.
it's always a challenge.
It is.
To deal with the counseling, the psychotherapeutic
mm-hmm.
end of things, but with people who are in a spiritual program.
Right, it is. Uh-huh.
And so you could end up talking
uh-huh.
about, it could be confused.
Two different things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that, I won't go into where I defer, but I let's just say that I would tend to, you know, stay with what works.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
But I don't want to confuse people. But it is a delicate balance.
Right.
To mm-hmm. do that well, I think it is. Takes great skill.
Yes.
And takes, you know, so you've been doing it for a good long time. But again, we jumped we got a little leapfrog there. So and the other thing I was thinking about as you were telling a little bit about your story is that here you were a minority.
Right, that's right.
So
that's right.
How did that play at all
into my life story? Yes, because I was a minority, and I, you know, in the public school, it was primarily Native Americans, and there was, you know, they were all, you know, children of alcoholic homes,
mm-hmm.
and so there was a lot of fighting, and
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of violence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I would kind of get bullied. So
mm-hmm.
I would experience that,
mm-hmm.
that and that affected my self-esteem, that affected,
mm-hmm.
you know, my sense of hopelessness,
and, mm-hmm.
you know, and I felt I almost kind of internalized some of those abuse issues that other mm-hmm. Native children did, too.
Because they were getting the same on the other end,
right,
on the way
exactly.
to school.
Exactly, uh-huh,
yeah.
And after school. And so, that definitely, as a minority, there was that kind of a piece of the hurt and the loneliness and the sense of separateness and the sense of alienation,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I really believe that, you know, the Lord used that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help me reach out to others and identify, you know, with others that are hurting, that have those same kind of feelings of alienation and rejection. And
did you feel like that helped you then or later?
Later.
Yeah.
It hurt then. It just hurt then.
Because when people come to see you now, or when they come to celebrate recovery now, they're still in the now part, not in the later part.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
How do you, what would you tell a kid in your situation if he came to you now?
Yeah. Well, we get that opportunity because we take recovery programs onto reservations. And
yeah, let's talk about that.
Because, because of my background and everything, I at one point, you know, believed that I should, you know, reach out to others because I had kind of gone to that place of I want to get off the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on the reservation and with social work and counseling. And
did you work back up in the reservation
on the
where
reservation
you came
where
from?
I came from.
Which
right.
What's the name of it?
Lac du Flambeau.
Oh, Lac du Flambeau.
Lac
okay.
Du Flambeau.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lake of the Torches, that's what that means.
Okay.
Now that's the name of a casino up there.
Yeah, I thought it sounded oddly familiar.
So, growing up on the reservation, you know, was painful. And so I was able to, you know, get a lot of healing, but I wanted to escape from all that.
Right.
And so
right.
I left, went back to graduate school with the idea I want to get into, you know, more independence from the reservation
right.
system because there
sure.
was so much politics there and there was, you know, just there was that. I mean, reservation people struggle with hopelessness and helplessness and dependency and, you know, alienation and
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to get away from that, but I felt God call me back to that, and that's
mm-hmm.
how I got involved mainly in missions and helping. You know, a ministry called Overcomers Ministry, and so every summer we go and we do a family camp.
Mm-hmm.
So primarily a recovery camp, helping
mm-hmm.
people. We have set up meetings and we do, you know, regular treatment programs. And but then we have fun. You know, we have recreation there,
mm-hmm.
and we have some Bible training there too. And so it's a good time too,
mm-hmm.
fishing and. You know.
And so that's what you're doing. That's what this program
that's
is.
This is we do First Nations Recovery Center. That's in Minneapolis. That's a Native American treatment center, actually.
Okay.
And it deals with psychiatric and substance abuse issues, and we deal with a dysfunctional family, you know, and communication and substance abuse issues, and you know, healing wounds of the past.
Mm-hmm.
For Native Americans, the major wounds is ironically, there's a lot of woundedness about faith because
mm-hmm.
Early on in our country's history, there was that sense of taking Indians' faith away from them.
Right.
And so there was punishment around that.
Yeah.
And so there's a wound around that, and there's wound around, you know, the American government taking their children away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two historical wounds are something we always address
mm-hmm.
when we're looking at healing and looking at substance abuse issues.
Do you run across people that talk about the Red Road recovery?
We primarily, you know, deal with people that are, you know, look at it more from a perspective because they know we're coming in there with a Christian recovery program.
Right.
And so that's where sometimes we have some differences because there's an antagonism, you know, against, you know, bringing Christianity,
and the Red Road is more of
a native religion.
Uh-huh. Path, yeah.
Yeah, and so we primarily say that, you know, and people have different opinions on that, but we primarily say, you know, we want to focus in on faith in God and Christ as the Savior
mm-hmm.
and as our hope, and so if we keep our focus on that, we're okay. If we get off too much, because sometimes
right.
people will want to get into the
mm-hmm.
into the sage and the, and you know the
mm-hmm.
the sweat lodge and that kind of stuff, and
mm-hmm.
we just kind of stay away from that because that focuses on another God.
Yeah. And that's okay. And
uh-huh.
If that's what
yeah.
they, that's fine. But that's
mm-hmm.
that's different from what
yes.
you do.
Right.
And they know coming in what you're
exactly
what you're about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so we've had some wonderful times of seeing people really get a lot of healing and victory and freedom. Last summer, we had a family that came to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
They were homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And five children. And just kind of going from wherever they could.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, just been so inspired by faith and by looking to Jesus and looking at some of the principles of biblical recovery, and very similar to Celebrate Recovery, same thing. And they now have a house. And they're working. And they mm-hmm. got involved in church, and I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. And are they up there?
They're up there in on the Red Lake Reservation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In northern Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then we have another fellow that he was half Ojibwa mm-hmm. and half Sioux.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know the history there, the Sioux did not get along with the Ojibwa.
They
were warring.
I know that.
They were warring parties.
Okay.
And this fellow, he was very... He had carried a lot of anger when he came to the recovery program.
Hmm.
He was angry at the, at both tribes
mm-hmm.
for being so antagonistic. And here he had both parts in him,
mm-hmm.
both Ojibwa and Sioux. And he was also angry at the American government, historically, because the American government in Mankato, Minnesota, back in the time of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
When Abraham Lincoln was president, they pretty much, that was the time when they moved the Sioux west into the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was one, though, that they had gathered together, was one on the list that they were going to gather together and hang
mm-hmm.
for being rebellious against the American government.
Yeah.
So his grandfather
mm-hmm.
had escaped to Washington and died as a homeless alcoholic. He was a businessman in Minnesota before that, during the time of the Civil War.
Hmm.
And so he had a lot of anger, a lot of hurt about that. But he learned the principle of forgiveness and letting go. And he's now on the board of directors for the ministry called Overcomers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is Overcomers a ministry that's specifically for Native Americans.
Yes, right.
I've heard the term before, but
there's different types of overcomers. This is Overcomers Native Ministries.
Okay, that's
and
the difference.
It primarily is, has the First Nations Treatment Center, Recovery Center. It has halfway houses in Minneapolis for Native Americans, and then it does a lot of these outreaches to reservations. They do men's ministry type things, women's ministry things, and
if someone wanted to.
Sensitive.
Get somebody, they know somebody uh-huh. that could benefit by that. How they go about?
If they're a Native American wanting to get involved in treatment, they could call me, or they could look online under Overcomers Ministries.
Overcomers Ministries, Minneapolis.
Right.
And how would they get a hold of you? Do you have a number you can give out?
Sure. My number here is 815-459-1095, extension 328.
Okay, so they could get a hold of you
sure.
that
I
way.
Could connect them.
And you could connect them to the...
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not only would it be, not in my way of thinking, not only would it be if a Native American person needed treatment, but if somebody like me
right.
needed that resource for a person, or I needed to pass it to somebody who wanted to give it to somebody. It's always
right. Mm-hmm.
People are always asking me, what do I do if? Where can I find?
Yes.
And you never know.
Yeah, it's a kind of an interesting story. The founder of Overcomers Ministries is for Natives is an Ojibwa himself. He was a decorated Vietnam vet who came back as an alcoholic from Vietnam and basically found his recovery. He tried a lot of programs. He tried Native religion. He tried even like other religions, and he tried a lot of different things. But he came to Christ and got total freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been his life work, is trying to reach out to other Native American.
So he's the one that...
He's the founder. He's the director still. He's also still a tribal chairman in northern mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
Okay.
On the Lacouture Reservation.
What's his name?
Gordon Thayer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me just jump back to you for a minute, if
sure.
we could, and then just so I guess I've got a general idea of what your path
mm-hmm.
to your faith was.
Mm-hmm.
A little, some idea about that. Maybe you could
tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a church,
okay.
And my mother and father were, you know, would talk a lot about Jesus and would pray. We'd have prayer times, but I never really knew God personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reality, again, I carried a lot of pain, loneliness, depression,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the chemical addiction, the alcohol,
mm-hmm.
you know, addiction myself, and would just feel a lot of pain and loneliness. And so I was searching. You know, this was in my college years, and
mm-hmm.
you know, just searching for, you know, I knew I didn't really know God personally,
mm-hmm.
and I started searching the Bible and, you know, going to different you know, meetings and things like that, and I was kind of struggling with the fact that I couldn't quit drinking.
Mm.
In graduate school, I you have to do those different sites, and I was working on an alcoholic unit, telling people what to do, and here
mm-hmm.
I was going home every night and getting
mm-hmm.
really sloshed,
mm-hmm.
and I was struggling with that. Why can't I
quit?
And I was searching right. for God for help with that, and I was looking for God with help with my depression and loneliness,
mm-hmm.
and I was... you know.
Maybe God does have a sense of humor after all. Slops you right down in a rehab.
Right, exactly.
And lets me know that I couldn't do it on my own.
That's Couldn't. Yeah, you go to work, you really can't
right.
avoid it.
Exactly.
So, I'm
so,
sorry.
So anyway, so I came to that point of seeing that, because I struggled with a lot of guilt. For all the things that I was doing with all my drinking and everything, and all the other addictions that would go with it, and so in that struggle, I was kind of crying out to God and saying,
mm-hmm.
God, if you're really there, I need your help, and so I was reading in the Bible and saw that where it's by grace that you're saved, and it's not
mm-hmm.
by works, it's not by yourself, it's a gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that relationship with
mm-hmm.
God. It's not something I have to work for. And I, you know, called out to God and, you know, and saw that whole plan in the Bible where we all, you know, are created by God. He's the giver of life, but we're all sinners. And I
mm-hmm.
saw that in the Bible where, you know, he died for me and my sins, but he also died so that I could have new life
mm-hmm.
and relationship with him. And
mm-hmm.
and not that that just zapped away my depression or my
mm-hmm.
addictions or
mm-hmm.
but it was a beginning, so I now had, you know, power to start
mm-hmm.
dealing with it
and
reaching out for help and so on.
Mm-hmm. When, and how long ago was that?
Well, that is probably, well, that was when I was like, I'm 58 now, and that was when I was about 28.
Huh? So that was a little while ago. That was something. So that was how you kind of came
to... That was how I came to faith, yeah.
Came to faith.
Me and all my struggles and seeing my need, both spiritually, but seeing my need, you know, to... Because I was sort of what you call, you know, not that there's a good alcoholic, but I was a bad alcoholic.
Yeah.
In other words, I had, you know, a lot of car accidents, near-death experiences, and would have a lot of blackouts and a lot of detox symptoms, and so I was out of control.
Yeah, you weren't fooling around.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It had you.
Yes. So I kind of knew that if I didn't get a hold of this, I was going to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 30 some odd years ago, and then. Maybe you could bring us up to how that continued then for you.
Okay, then kind of timeline wise, I got involved, you know, in growing in faith and growing in knowledge of recovery and got involved with the Rafa Treatment
mm-hmm.
Centers, which was devoted to bringing together faith and
mm-hmm.
and recovery principles. So we would have psychologists and, you know, medical doctors mm-hmm. and social workers all coming together on hospital floors, you know, addressing the whole person, you know, and that whole idea of, you know, sort of the idea of holiness has a bad connotation for a lot of people because it has so much religiosity to it. Mm-hmm. But the reality of, you know, that's so connected to the word health and wholeness and mm-hmm. dealing with the whole person.
Sure.
And so that was that was the goal, is to address all the parts of the person.
Mm-hmm. And so you got healthy over the time partly by working and
partly by working yeah. and
were you ever in treatment of any kind?
I was not in treatment. I was you know initially I was working in learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand how that goes.
So I was catching it, and eventually
they didn't know you were kind of a patient too at the same time.
That's right, they didn't know that.
We want to keep that.
Because I was working on a treatment center where there was a famous addictionologist that was kind of he was a psychiatrist. His name was Dr. Gallant, and he would regularly identify people that really weren't sober.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they look sober, but he could readily identify it, and I thought for sure and identify that.
Talk about torture.
Yeah.
Don't work every day thinking that was the day.
Right.
You,
yeah.
Come to my office.
And he would say, no, he wouldn't say that. He would say, you're not sober. Get out, pack your bags, because this was a hospital. So
yeah.
Pack your bags and get out.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be able to do that. You can't do that anymore.
But yeah. They kind of frown on that process. But
we're going to take a short break, listen to Matthew West singing The Motion, and we'll be right back with you.
This might hurt, it's not safe. But I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. No regrets, not this time. I'm gonna let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life.
Instead of going through the motions.
So we're back, and so we want to spend some time talking more specifically about the program. So one of the things I wanted to know, I know we talked a little bit about it on the on the phone we spoke, but how did Celebrate Recovery come about?
Yeah, Celebrate Recovery started at Saddleback Church in Southern California, which is a, as you mentioned earlier, a well-known pastor, Rick Warren, who was approached by a recovering alcoholic. His name is John Baker, and he approached Rick Warren with the idea of, say, look, I found God here in the church, but I can't talk about my recovery here. And he said, and I found sobriety at AA, but I can't
talk about my religion,
my faith there. And so Rick Warren said, well, put together a proposal and we'll try to do something here then. And so basically they both went through the Bible, and they came across the Beatitudes in the Bible, which of course is foundational to AA too. But went back to that place of really examining that and connecting the Beatitudes with the steps. And so so they started that about 20 years ago. Now it's all over the country, and it's growing at a very rapid rate throughout the world now. Because I think of that kind of that missing piece there, where people in the church, they need to deal with their recovery issues. They need to feel like they can bring their faith to bear on it.
And I know that I've heard from people, in AA, that they want to be able to mesh their specific beliefs with their recovery. But AA is more generic, more higher power oriented than a specific. Talking about a specific religious belief. So I can see why that would be really. Can you tell me? I mean, it's a dumb question, I guess, because I really should know. But the Beatitudes, what the Beatitudes are?
Well, it's not a dumb question because I have to
look.
We look at it every week,
then I feel better.
Principle one. We take the specific beatitude, they're called be happy attitudes, or sort of more blessed or more increased attitudes is really kind of the interpretation. But so again, we try to connect it with the steps. But principle one is realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. And that's related to happier those who know they are spiritually poor. Happy that are those who know their spirit.
And where does that come from in the Bible? Do you know?
That comes from Matthew.
In
the book of Matthew, where Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount. He started the Sermon on the Mount with that whole idea. Again, very much part of AA, too.
In fact, I think Emmett Fox, who's written a lot of a lot of material, people read Emmett Fox all the time, and he wrote a book called Sermon on the Mount,
So what that means is the person has to recognize they can't do it alone. They need help, and that, whenever a person thinks that they're going to do it on their own, they're in a place of, if you think you stand, you're going to fall. In other words, we need help. Principle two, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. And that's based on happier those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So looking for our hope from God, but recognizing we really have to feel the sadness of the addiction. But sometimes, I don't know, when I first got sober, that was one of the things that I did. I was mourning, but I'll be honest with you, I was mourning the fact that I had to give it up. I was, I did a goodbye letter to alcohol. And I tried to not only be honest, but these were all the things that I was going to miss about it, but I had to say, but this is all the things that alcohol did to me. This is what it was stealing from me. This is how it was beating me up.
And it took that to recognize.
And then principle three is I consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Happy are the meek.
Mm-hmm.
So the meekness of being willing to do what I need to do,
mm-hmm.
stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
And then principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to God, to myself, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. So that whole idea of self-examination, but honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And then principle 5, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the 12
mm-hmm.
steps. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. So
mm-hmm.
the idea of having faith that if I do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, God will bless that. Then principle 6, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others.
Mm-hmm.
And happy are the merciful, happy are the peacemakers.
And the every verse that you quote is
all from Matthew.
Yeah. All from Matthew?
Right.
And it's all happy.
Yes.
I mean, it's what happens when you do this.
Right.
That's the byproduct of applying these principles.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not the same kind of happiness in terms of looking at the source of the words in the original. You know, like sometimes we think about, you know, as an alcoholic, I thought about happiness as just feeling good.
Yeah.
And this word happy in the original is not related to necessarily circumstances, but contentment and serenity and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
different animal.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Not Disney World.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh.
That's something else.
yes. So that's, you know, that's a recovery issue for a lot of people is a wanting just to feel good. And,
right.
And have a hard time letting go.
Yeah. Mistaking the lack of feeling bad
yes.
for true happiness.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Way different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then principle 7, reserve daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, prayer, in order to know God and His will for my life, and to gain the power to follow His will.
Mm-hmm.
Happy are those who attend. We say, happy are those who attend Celebrate Recovery. That's not really in Matthew.
Yeah. It's not? It's not. Yeah.
And then principle 8, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. And then happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. And so, you know, I remember when I was first got sober, I, you know, come from a family where I never heard the word alcoholic. And so I didn't really relate to that idea, and neither did my family when I announced that I don't drink anymore. I've got a problem here.
Mm. Yeah.
And so at first there was that, you know, relational struggle, and I had to separate, you know, from different ones.
Did people come to understand what that meant? Did your family come to understand what that meant in time?
In time they did. Through the years, I mean, because some of my family members still have problems with alcohol, but some have come to realize, you know, that's, you know, at first it was like, okay, now I see, yeah, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they'd feel very uncomfortable when I was there when drinking was going on, because this guy that knows he has a problem is reminding me that maybe I do.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so the whole focus of the and I like this, the whole focus of the principles of Celebrate Recovery are based on the joyful benefits.
Yes, right.
The focus is on the joyful benefits.
Right.
Substituting
right. Mm-hmm.
joyful benefits for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I think that's right. And it's more, you know, I'd say it's you can, yeah, more descriptively see the serenity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, okay, there's some painful things, the mourning and the
right.
Some suffering here. We
right.
To,
it's not all sweetness and light.
Right.
But that's the goal. That's where we're headed.
Right. And so, you know, like in the Serenity Prayer, that's what I love the Serenity
mm-hmm.
Prayer because it's a lot about acceptance, but it's about the reality of accepting that today I may have some painful things or some suffering, but
mm-hmm.
I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot better than what I had
mm-hmm.
in my drinking days.
So the program, well, actually two things are crossing my mind. One is, you know, it's pretty easy to see the connection, how the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the principles of Celebrate Recovery are very easily interwoven. Interchangeable,
uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty much, even yeah. that, yeah. So I can see, do you find that people have a pretty easy time of doing both things, or?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things that came up for Celebrate Recovery in California when they first started the program was, you know, they would, you know, mainly get AAers.
Mm-hmm.
That really started everything,
mm-hmm.
But that were Christians. But that was one of the things they learned early on. They didn't want people to sort of abandon, their AA communities,
right?
Because you know, and so you know, most of our people that are here are AAers also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, we have some people that come here that maybe only come here, but a lot of people really need more. That, you know, they need to
mm-hmm.
really stay, because AA has a lot to offer, as far as you know, all those years of refining the steps and
mm-hmm.
the philosophy and the principles, and you know, it mm-hmm. works.
Yeah,
you know?
And the long term, there's the long term and the security
yes.
of that,
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
is and there's you know the sponsorship and things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's some pieces that.
Uh-huh. So we have those pieces of sponsorship, and we have the step studies, and so you know
mm-hmm.
that's our goal, is getting
mm-hmm.
guys in step and women in step studies.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that for a lot of people, just going to one meeting is just not enough.
Not enough. Yeah.
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 And you know, you get a different slant on things, different people's wisdom and
sure.
approaches and philosophy by going to AA.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been involved in Celebrate Recovery in other? Have you been involved in getting it started other places, or is it pretty much been here?
We've been involved in being a. We've had some meetings here where you know other people came here. Celebrate Recovery from California came here to do
mm-hmm.
training
mm-hmm.
a number of years ago, and so a number of churches, you know, and other ministries came to learn how to do it.
Okay.
So.
So are there other churches in the area besides this
yes,
one that do offer a Celebrate program?
There's there's a lot of programs. Arlington Heights, there's
mm-hmm.
in McHenry,
mm-hmm.
there's the chapel has Celebrate Recovery. There is Will Creek Church has Celebrate Recovery, although they don't call it Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
Because they do, if you do different pieces, it's not exactly the way
not
you can
exactly,
call it.
Then they don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And there's a number in the Chicago area. There's probably about 50 recovery programs.
All right.
And so some people will do that. They'll, you know, they'll go from Celebrate Recovery, you know, if they want to just only do Celebrate Recovery. But most of our people will go to regular AA or Al-Anon or
rather than to travel
FCLA.
To
right exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So people. So is the main sort of the main base still in Southern California?
Yes.
Still Saddleback Church?
Saddleback Church, uh-huh.
Okay.
And
does Rick Warren still have some
they have
influence?
A large, Rick Warren, you know, basically he's the senior pastor there. John Baker oversees that.
I see, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And John Baker is who founded it, is mainly involved now in helping internationally start
mm-hmm.
Celebrate Recovery programs
mm-hmm.
and nationally. They'll do these day trainings, and then
mm-hmm.
they do once a year they'll do a large training.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Have you been to some of them?
Been to that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
'Cause it seems like you guys have been very successful here.
with that program?
We've been very, very blessed. I have great leaders who, mm-hmm. you know, really, I think, are serious about recovery and
right.
And
yeah, it almost seems like you should be a model program for celebrate recovery. I mean, I don't want to toot your horn. I don't know what I know about it, but it just seems like you've done so well here. Somebody ought to recognize that and go, hey, you guys are really doing well. Why don't you stop by and see what these guys are doing because. You know,
that's the other thing. Yeah, we've been blessed that way, and we've had other groups, teams that will come here and they'll spend maybe 4 weeks seeing what we do and then
mm-hmm. okay, so it is training. Kind of you do
yeah there's that intermingling
yeah mm-hmm. I, you know, that's really good uh-huh. and your groups are led by peer it's they're
right.
peer led groups
all, you know recovering people
uh-huh. yeah mm-hmm. okay. All right. Well, that's good. Are there any other things that you think people need to know about Celebrate that's not out there? Any myths that we want to bust?
Yeah. I think sometimes the myth is that you know people are going to come there and they're almost going to get the Bible you know over their head or something like
yeah,
that.
Get the,
yeah. Or that it'll be real almost like legalistic and controlling or something like mm-hmm. that. So that's a myth. I mean, because people come here, there's acceptance, nothing's, you know, shoved on a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's the need that we have to try to welcome people and,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
connect with people, and so we do that, but we don't shove anything on anybody, it's, you know, we believe people have to receive it and kind of reach out and
mm-hmm.
and go for it. So that's the major myth that... And the other myth, I think, is that we're not really dealing with recovery. We're just reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we bring biblical verses to bear on things and faith, you know, we're very much interested in, you know, the 12 steps and
the recovery,
you know, recovery program. And, you know, we believe, just like AA does, that the most important thing is, you know, get a sponsor, work the steps,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, do whatever it takes to stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of similarities.
Okay. More so than people might
exactly.
might think.
Yeah.
And, well, and just the fact that, you know, the principles that you read, noted that you read the principle, talked about what it meant, and then said what the verse was that supports
yes.
that principle.
Yes, uh-huh.
Not the other way around.
Right. That's right.
I mean, just
uh-huh.
to look at it that way,
uh-huh.
and that's what it says, that's what it is in the literature.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way
mm-hmm.
it is in the literature,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's... Mm-hmm. So that's good. I think that's probably good, you know, good for people to know.
And the other thing is that the myth some people have is thinking it's an either-or, you know, that, oh, okay... We come to Celebrate Recovery. You're implying that we should not go to AA, and we're not saying that at all.
Not at all.
Because sometimes we have seen that where people will think, "Well, I'm going to go to Celebrate Recovery, and I'm going to stop." You know, we almost go the other way. Do not stop going to AA meetings.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because if that's working for you, stay in there. Okay. Maybe
right.
this can be a way to build your
right.
recovery
yeah.
program and build your faith in that. But don't leave. Don't leave your program that's working for you. Because sometimes people will,
yeah.
you know, that whole idea of alcoholics are
yeah.
you know, the disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's one of those cunning things where people will try to escape, you know.
Right, I've seen
yeah.
it. You've
yeah.
seen it. You know, people. If it would be a little easier and a little less
yes.
accountable
yes. Yes.
to do this, I'll try that
uh-huh.
for a while,
yeah.
and then. It's the lucky ones that make it back.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
because,
yeah.
you know. So I think we've probably covered pretty much what we want to get to. The one thing I did want to ask is if people want to participate in Celebrate, first of all, how do they start?
Yes.
What do they do?
Yeah, the Friday nights is when our main meeting is for open meetings. So we have... open meetings for chemical addiction for men and women. We have gender-specific
mm-hmm.
and issue-specific. So we've got meetings for men for anger, for men for sexual addiction, men for adult children of alcoholics,
mm-hmm.
and sexual addiction.
Okay.
And women, we have chemical addiction and kind of codependency/ACOA.
Okay.
So any Friday nights open, people can come in. We have a dinner at 6 o'clock. People are welcome to come to. At 7 o'clock is our large group where we do teaching or stories of recovery. And we have a worship band that will play recovery-oriented music. And then at 8 o'clock, we go into our small groups. And those are open meetings. And then 9 o'clock, we have a cafe, you know, coffee and desserts for people to try to get social and get sponsors and and accountability partners.
When somebody comes in, say, for the first time, they might not know what, you know, like, I know I have, maybe I have some, you know, sexual problems, and maybe I have an alcohol problem. And,
yes.
You know, is there somebody, I mean, does somebody help them sort out what the best path to take is?
Yes, we have a, it's called Celebrate Recovery 101, and it's sort of an introductory kind of a group for people to just learn about what it is and what it isn't.
Oh, okay.
And what recovery is and what recovery isn't, and Celebrate Recovery, what it is. And then, you know, we talk about that reality. You know, you want to pick the one issue, because many people come in with multiple problems.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of times they're coming here, you know, at their rock bottom. And so we normally will say you better deal with the one that's the most severe for you.
Yeah.
You know,
the one that's going to kill you. Let's take care of that one first.
Let's try to knock that out first.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's how that works. And would they get in touch with you? Would they get in touch with the church? How do they?
Either way, they can. Again, they can just show up here Friday nights.
Evangelical Free Church, Crystal Lake.
Free Church of Crystal Lake. Or they can call me at 815-459-1095, extension 328.
Okay.
Or they could go online and look at Celebrate Recovery Crystal Lake.
Okay.
Or
and they'll see
the Free Church website, and they'll see
okay.
you know, information for that too.
Okay. Did we get all the info?
I think we got we got the specifics.
He's usually the make sure you get the info guy.
I was waiting.
The other thing I didn't mention was we also have a Celebrate Recovery Inside, it's called. And that's a Celebrate Recovery in the county jail.
Oh.
And so on Wednesday nights we have a program for women there, and then Saturday nights we have a program for men.
Okay.
So that's been awesome, wonderful seeing, you know, guys get help and ladies get help. And and then we tell them about different Celebrate Recovery programs and AA programs that are in the community for when they get out. So there's a little bit of a connector there.
Do you find that you're pretty connected with, do you get connected, or do your leaders get connected to the community people?
Yeah, our leaders are connected, you know, like with the county jail and with the AA community and social service community. And
Okay. All right. I mean, you almost have to be to, you know. So that's Celebrate Recovery Inside.
Celebrate Recovery Inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a way for people to know that if they have a family or friend in jail, they can ask for that program.
Okay. And I guess so. One last question. If there's a person out there somewhere who's listening and they're scared and they're confused and they know they have an addictions problem, they've known it probably for a while, they just don't know what to do, what would you tell them? What message would you like to send?
Yeah, I'd like to send that message to people that, it's like the same message I would give to our church family. You know, when people think, well, you guys are those people.
Yeah.
I would say, we're all people in need of recovery.
All right.
And people think, well, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not a drug addict. But the way we approach it is, well, everybody has hurts, everybody has habits, everybody has hang-ups, you know. And so the important thing is, be honest about it. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with another person, you know, and recognize we need one another. And so the simplicity, you know, is that, you know, we all have to accept, you know, our struggles, accept the reality that we need one another, and we need all the resources that we can possibly get to make it through life.
You're not alone out there.
Right, exactly.
Well, I really want to thank you for, you know, sharing your stuff here and being on the show, and I think it was great. It's great to know about how this all works and your part in it. And, you know, so I really appreciate that and for you coming on. And I have a couple of things that I'd like to say by way of closing, and then maybe you could close
sure.
with a prayer for us.
Sure, I'd be glad to.
So I want to thank our listening audience, and I won't thank our studio audience because we didn't have one this week.
You're great.
They were great. They were quiet, though, surprisingly. We'll email out reminders for next week's show, usually late in the week, and I'll make sure that you're on the list, so I send you reminders for the show. And if you find things that you like and you want to pass them along,
sure.
that's how we get known. That's how we get new listeners. So remember to check Recovery Internet Radio for all the archive shows and to sign up there for our email reminder list. And that's the way, when you go to our website and sign up, that's how we know where you are. Since we're an internet radio show, we don't know where our listeners are.
Because
they could be anywhere.
Yes, that's neat.
Tanzania or something. We don't know.
Sure.
Wherever there's internet, you can listen to this. So we really want to know where you are. And as always, live today, love yourself and your neighbor, and together we'll trudge the happy road to destiny. We hope you've enjoyed the show. And I'd like to ask Steve to close with a prayer for tonight.
Sure, I'd be glad to, and thank you for Rick and Chris for doing this show and for caring for others, because I know you don't do this for yourself. You do this show because you care for others, wanting to see others get help. So I appreciate you guys, and no, that's not easy to put this together every week.
Thank
so
you for that.
Thank you for doing that. So thank you, Lord, for Rick and Chris, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about recovery. And we would just ask for those who are listening that know that they or a family member or a friend, you know, needs recovery, needs the Lord, we would just ask that you would help them find their way and open up those doors of recovery and faith and those directions towards peace and serenity, Lord. And we know that you're the only one that can give real peace and real joy. So we just pray for each person out there that they would find that help necessary. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.